of space and must fight the tormenting pressures of the solar shallows. Magic is weaker here, on the littoral of light. Many more days of this, and the Discworld will be stripped away by the pressures of reality. Great Artuin knows this, but Great Artuin can recall doing all this before, many thousands of years ago. The Astro-Chelonian's eyes, glowing red in the light of the dwarf star, are not focused on it, but at a little patch of space nearby. "Yes, but where are we?" said Two Flower. The shopkeeper hunched over his table, just shrugged. "I don't think we're anywhere," he said. "We're in a contingent incongruity, I believe. I could be wrong. The shop generally knows what it's doing."
"You mean you don't?"
"I pick up a bit here and there." The shopkeeper blew his nose. "Sometimes I land on a world where they understand these things." He turned a pair of small, sad eyes on Two Flower. "You've got a kind face, sir. I don't mind telling you."
"Telling me what?"
"It's no life, you know, minding the shop, never settling down, always on the move, never closing."
"Why don't you stop, then?"
"Ah, that's it, you see, sir. I can't. I'm under a curse, I am. A terrible thing."
He blew his nose again.
"Cursed to run a shop. Forever, sir, forever. And never closing. For hundreds of years. There was this sorcerer, you see. I did a terrible thing."
"In a shop?" said Two Flower.
"Oh, yes. I can't remember what it was he wanted, but when he asked for it, I gave one of those sucking in noises, you know, like whistling, only backwards," he demonstrated.
Two Flower looked somber, but he was at heart a kind man, and always ready to forgive.
"I see," he said slowly. "Even so, that's not all."
"Oh,
I told him there was no demand for it."
"After making the sucking noise?"
"Yes, I probably grinned too."
"Oh, dear.
You didn't call him Squire, did you?"
I may have done."
"There's more."
"Surely not."
"Yes. I said I could order it and he could come back next day."
"That doesn't sound too bad," said Two Flower, who alone of all the people in the multiverse allowed shops to order things for him and didn't object at all to paying quite large sums of money to reimburse the shopkeeper for the inconvenience of having a bit of stock in his store often for several hours.
"It was early closing day," said the shopkeeper.
"Oh?"
"Yes, and I heard him rattling the door handle. I had this sign on the door, you know, it said something like, 'Closed, even for the sale of necromancer cigarettes.' Anyway, I heard him banging, and I laughed."
"You laughed?"
"Yes, like this."
"Probably not a wise thing to do," said Two Flower, shaking his head.
I know, my father always said, he said, do not peddle in the affairs of wizards. Anyway, I heard him shouting something about never closing again, and a lot of words I couldn't understand, and then the shop came alive."
"And you've wandered like this ever since?"
"Yes. I suppose one day I might find the sorcerer, and perhaps the thing he wanted will be in stock. Until then, I must go from place to place."
"That was a terrible thing to do," said Two Flower.
The shopkeeper wiped his nose on his apron.
"Thank you," he said.
"Even so, he shouldn't have cursed you quite so badly," Two Flower added.
"Oh, yes. Well."
The shopkeeper straightened his apron and made a brave little attempt to pull himself together.
"Anyway, this isn't getting you to Ankh-Morpork, is it?"
"Funny thing is," said Two Flower, "that I bought my luggage in a shop like this once. Another shop, I mean."
"Oh, yes, there's several of us," said the shopkeeper, turning back to the table. "That sorcerer was a very impatient man, I understand."
"Endlessly roaming through the universe," mused Two Flower.
"That's right. Mind you, there is a saving on the rates."
"Rates?"
"Yes, there." The shopkeeper paused and wrinkled his forehead. "I can't quite remember. It was such a long time ago. Rates.
Very large mice?"
"Yes, that's probably it."